Well, hear this words coming from the book of Romans, chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Love should be shown without pretending. Hate evil and hold on to what is good. Love each other like members of your own family. Be the best at showing honor to each other. Don't hesitate to be enthusiastic. Be on fire in the spirit as you serve the Lord. Be happy in your hope. Stand your ground when you are in trouble and devote yourselves to prayer. Contribute to the needs of God's people and welcome strangers into your home. Bless people who harass you. Bless and don't curse them. Be happy with those who are happy and cry with those who are crying. Consider everyone as equals and don't think that you are better than anyone else. Instead, associate with people who have no status. Don't think that you are so smart. Don't pay back anyone for their evil actions with evil actions, but show respect for what everyone else believes is good. If possible, to the best of your ability, live at peace with all people. Don't try to revenge for yourself, to get revenge for yourself, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. It is written, "Revenge belongs to me, I will pay it back," says the Lord. Instead, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. By doing this, you will pile burning coals of fire upon his head. Don't be defeated by evil, but defeat evil with good. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we are thankful for your living word that speaks into our heart, calling us to continue to grow in our own journey of faith, continue to grow in our understanding of you, continue to grow in allowing your spirit to take root in our hearts and move us to becoming a new people. Bless us now as we enter this time of preached word. Speak to us so that we may be transformed and live as faithful disciples out in the world. Amen. So this week I had the joy of spending about an hour and a half or 2 hours, right, Ms. Wanda? With Ms. Wanda and some dear friends of hers, and they were kind enough to allow Linda and I to record their conversation. And here we are. It's a new pack. We'll do this probably for a few weeks. So this week, we had the joy of spending some time with Ms. Wanda and some wonderful friends of hers, and they allowed us the honor of recording their conversation and trying to condense it. So we're going to watch a little video that talks about the meaning of presence in the lives of these individuals and in our community.
I think that that's what I've had with these three. It's a joy, a happiness, grief, and sorrow. I've experienced all of that with them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I feel it, that we have. And I think that just makes you grow stronger in a friendship.
Well, see, and a few months ago, we were talking about Margaret Beale. Mm-hmm. She's been a mentor to me, and Meredith and Cloud are a mentor right there in our church.
I'd say just the friendships that I've developed in being with you, especially in those small groups, it's just meant a lot to me.
Yeah.
Soul-bearing time. I grew up in the Methodist Church, and
went to this church for quite a long time, but never really felt like I studied the scripture the way I should until, you know, and I would be very embarrassed, you know, because there'd be these people that would say, like Jeremiah 29:11, and think a verse, and somebody would say, have something, and they'd say, oh, well, read this, you know, and I'm going, I don't know all that. But we started those disciple studies, and we did so many of them. And I don't know if you know the ones I'm talking about.
Yeah.
They were 32 weeks long, and yeah. It was a commitment when you made it. And everybody that made that commitment really stuck to it. We never, to my knowledge, we never had anybody that dropped out that I can remember. If you said you were going to do it, you did it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a real eye-opener for me of what the scriptures can be.
Mm.
I was so glad that we did that. So Bible study has meant a lot to me in the church.
My granddaughter did Bible mission. Trips. Yes. And first one she did was from our church. She went twice, and the Bensons are one, I think, that you remember the Bensons that is. And
my grandson, Michael
was
that, went with
where was it? They
the
went.
Last one, I guess.
You remember where it was? That's trying to think where they went. And then the last one, she went, my daughter, granddaughter, went out with the world mission, I think it's called. This was when she was going on that world mission trip.
Mm-hmm.
And my daughter sent this to Stephen when he was up there, said, when they asked for God's sightings. She said, Pastor Stephen, I have a great God sighting this week, but I know I won't be able to tell the congregation this story without choking up and crying. And then they wouldn't be able to hear or understand me. Can you tell about this on Sunday? She says, I got the following text from Morgan. That's my granddaughter. On Monday morning. She said, it's 5 a.m. and I'm in a bus station in Richmond, Virginia. And the mission has begun, she put that all caps, daily living out faith and sharing it. I'm not even in Africa yet, and I already got an amazing opportunity to share the gospel with a woman named Amy, who was so clearly seeking spiritual fulfillment. We talked about so much, and she put that in all caps. So much stuff. And I asked her if she's read the Bible, and she said no. So after a little bit, I felt like I needed to give her mine. So here I am. I just gave my Bible away with highlighted scripture and sticky notes and everything to a woman I met in the bus station. She seemed happy and smiled about it. So I hope she reads it.
I am the youngest here. I am, not by much, but a little bit.
And you are not.
And all three of these women are who I want to be when I grow up. Honestly. Oh my goodness.
So what does it mean for us to be present for one another? What does it mean for us to live out the vow of presence in the life of our community? You know, the more I've thought about this, the more that I have come to the understanding that being present means more than simply showing up. I think that many of us have been, you know, your spouse, your friend, or somebody invited you to go somewhere and to do something that you really didn't feel like going, but to avoid the conflict, you go. And you are physically there for whatever long time the thing takes. And you leave, and you don't remember what in the world happened, but you're just happy that you're not there anymore. I don't know if it's just me. It may just be me. But that happened. That has happened in my life a time or two. And my kids are here, and they may witness to some of the wonderful children's programs that elementary schools and middle school bands offer, where everybody's learning how to play at the same time, and there's not a single note that sounds the same. Even if they are playing in unison, and you show up because it's your kid. And then you get out of there and say, what songs did they play? And it's like, I don't know. I'm just glad that it's dawn. But that is not really being present. That's just showing up. Our text today is an interesting one because the Apostle Paul kind of gives us what it seems more like a to-do list of things, what it means for us to be a community of faith, but we cannot be a community of faith that journeys together with one another without first and foremost the exercise of prayer. The great Methodist missionary E. Stanley Jones said that if he had one gift to give to the church and only one gift, it would be the gift of prayer because everything else flows from prayer. Prayer is the foundation of all that we do and is the thing that enables us to go forward and do everything else. And for me, then the gift of presence is the first outflow of prayer. I grew up a preacher's kid, and my mother was very involved in the life of the church. My grandmothers were very involved in the life of the church, and Methodists in Brazil do a whole lot of home visits. Brazilians are very warm people, and there's such thing as showing up in somebody's house without being there for a while, and then there is food, and you don't reject food. And as a preacher child, you're taught that whatever is put in front of you, you eat and you drink, and you don't say a word. And it was five of us, and we had to be told that a whole lot. And it doesn't matter what was in front of us, you ate and you held those gag reflexes and everything else until you were out in the car. We were L-trained in those exercises, and we did that constantly. But when I became a pastor, to my own surprise, doing hospital visits and home visits was the thing that made me most uncomfortable. And I was talking to a spiritual director about it, and he asked me what seemed to be a really simple question. It was like, when you park your car, what do you do? It's like, well, I get out of the car and I go in because that's why I drove there. And he's like, no. He's like, you arrive there. You are in your car. What happens next? And I was like, I get out. And through some more conversation and prayer, he helped me to understand that your problem is that you're arriving in places being, and you're not present with yourself. Attempting to be present with somebody else. So he helped me to develop some exercises and, you know, what do you do before you leave? It's like the pastors think you just be in a rush to do everything for some reason. And it's like, what do you do before you get in the car? How do you calm your spirit? How do you arrive with yourself? When you get there, stop. Pray. Become present with God and with you so that therefore you can be present with other people. And I began to practice that, and the things, not that they became necessarily easy, but it became less anxious. And I was able to show up without believing that somehow I need to show up to be an entertainer for whoever I am visiting. I began to understand what does it mean to be present. And to be present with them, I had to be present with myself because God was already present in the place. The core of our theology, what makes us, a part of what makes us distinct as United Methodists is that we believe that the Spirit of God is at work everywhere and in all people. And there's no place where we can be where God is not already at work. So then I show up not bringing God to the person, but seeking to be present to what God is already doing there. Seeking to be present with myself, with the other, and with God's presence that is everywhere that we go. And prayer for me became the foundation of that. I know that most of us don't spend a lot of time thinking about these vows. Mary Kay talked about that last week, and she's very right. Some of us are a little odd because we are trained to think in certain ways, and you spend so much time with these things that I have at least begun to look at it and wonder why. Why prayers, presence, gift, service, and witness? Why those five in particular? And the more I have taught about it is because I believe that those are the core foundations that enables transformation to happen in our lives as individuals and in the life of our community. No community of faith can survive without prayer. No community of faith can be a true community if presence is not a part of what they do and how they live with one another. No community is true community unless people bring the gifts that they have. No community is a community, especially a Christian community, if the love and the joy that we have, the prayers that we pray, does not move us to go outwardly to serve the world. And no Christian community is true Christian community if we cannot share with the world what God has done in our own lives. It is vital for us to understand these things and to look at them as faithful practices that enables God to work in us so that we can be at work in the world with God. I think that if we pause and reflect on the people that have made the greatest difference in our lives, we all are going to arrive at different conclusions of who those people are, but I imagine that there will be one thing in common for all of us. Those are people that created space for us. People who took time to know who we were and who we are, who invested in our lives, who used their gifts of presence to help us to grow, to see something, to be heard, to be transformed in some way. I think that all of those are important, but I think that the gift of presence is the thing that creates the most lasting difference in the lives of individuals. Again, I'm a preacher's kid. My uncle was also a preacher. He's now a bishop in the Methodist Church in Brazil. All of our friends and their friends were pastors. We were surrounded by church things, and we were in church a lot. Every Saturday, every Sunday, every Tuesday. There are most Tuesdays and most Thursdays. And that's when there were no revivals, which then you're there every day in a week, or other special things. And worship in the church, the Methodist Church in Brazil, we come to Sunday school in the morning, and there's a morning worship, which is about an hour and a half. And then you come back at 6 p.m. for another worship service, which averages 2 hours and a half. And we were in Brazil for a month with the kids, and we went to church 2 weeks, and they said, I think we met our quota. It's like, it's a lot of church. It's like, we've had enough. It's like, we can go the rest of the month without showing up because it's a lot more hours than we'd have clocked in the U.S. But despite all of that, as I began to deal with my own calling, I needed individuals to walk beside me and help me to make sense of what God was doing in my life. I needed people who took enough of an interest in me to take time to ask questions, to push me a little bit in the places where I thought that I understood that God and I had a deal. And I came to, I moved to the U.S. in 2001 with a clear understanding that God and I had a very good understanding of what my life was going to be like. And I studied computer science because there was no religion involved. And was halfway through my program as God decided to do weird things in me, and I'm feeling these things that I had not felt before. And it took a dear friend and mentor to sit with me and say, you are holding on to something that is not yours to hold on. And I don't know what it is, but I am going to journey with you and pray with you and help you to hear and see that which seems to be beyond your capacity. And she did that. and help me to arrive at a place where I could recognize that my plans were limited, that God wanted more from me, and I didn't know what that was going to look like. And I tried to create a timeline, which immediately failed. I don't know then what the timeline was going to be, but I knew that God was calling me to do something that I had not considered before. And something that I had said was not mine to do, and it took the companionship, the presence of another to do it. In the life of our community, we see the gift of presence well, especially in times of joy and in times of the apostle says, cry with those who cry, laugh with those who laugh. When one of us is suffering, we are not to suffer alone. We, as a community of faith, are to be present with one another. One of the great challenges of life and of faith is that life doesn't just fluctuate between sorrow and joy. There's a lot of mundane stuff that happens in the middle. There's a wonderful book called The Gift of the Ordinary that highlights, that looks at the liturgical calendar and say, we have all of these high seasons, but there's a whole lot of green in the middle, if you know the liturgical colors. And it's like that God works in that green too. In times when it seems that there's nothing going on, that's the time when God is also at work. And in our lives, it's the same thing. A part of being present is not just showing up when people are suffering or where they experience great joys, is in the everydayness of life. How are we present to each other in the everydayness of life? How are we helping each other with the little questions that seem to be insignificant? How are we helping each other with the things that, you know, it's you do them every day that you don't even think about it? They are so automatic. But when we deepen our understanding that being present is more than showing up, when we begin to understand that there is a formational part to this life of faith that calls us to really journey with one another through thick and thin, we begin to see that even in ordinary moments, God is doing something. God is helping us to grow in our love for the other. God is helping us to see deeper than we could have seen before. God is helping us to become truly a new creation. I think that when Linda and I first got married, we were very young. We were 23. And to this day, I still wonder how come no adult in our life said, slow down. Especially now that we have a soon-to-be 18-year-old. And if marriage comes up anytime in the next few years, somebody go check on the parsonage. Because things may be out of order there. But one of the things that we soon discovered was that the loveliness that we had for one another was a lot of fun. And then when ordinary routine began to settle in, and you begin to notice all of the little things, the way that the other person may squeeze the tube of toothpaste or the toilet paper over or under, and there is a right way. I believe in that. And all of the, and how you wash dishes, do you soak the dishes before you wash them? Do you just wash them? Do you put them in the machine? And all of those things, when the ordinary part of life begins to settle in, it's like, you know, this love thing, there must be more to it. But living every day with one another helps us to overcome those challenges, being willing to listen, be willing to learn, be willing to be fully present without holding judgment is the thing that happens between the highs and lows. It's the thing that helps us to become more than just a collective group of individuals who happens to show up in the same place at a given time, to being a community of faith, a community that journeys with one another. And all of this is not our work, it is God's work in us. The invitation for each one of us is, how can we be present to ourselves, to others, and to this community? What are the things that we can do so that the realities of the kingdom of heaven are manifested in the here and now? You know, one of the gifts of being church, and I truly believe in this, is that the most irrelevant person in the life of the community are the pastors. Because we come and go. I tell every congregation this: the moment that I arrive, there is an invisible clock that neither you or I can see that begins to count down. That the only thing ensures that at some point, Mary-Kate and I will be sent somewhere else. And it's the life that we signed up for. But each one of you are the people that make this congregation what it is. Each one of you are the people that give Hilldale its flavor, its character, and what the church is known in the community is not because Pastor X, Y, or Z was here, but it was because the people who feel that God is doing something in their lives with one another in this space have worked together to create something beautiful. That happens when we are present. When we are present in our time of worship. And showing up is important. Don't go home and say, Jefferson said that showing up is not important. Showing up is very important. Showing up is almost half of the battle. If you don't show up, then you have to do extra work to be present. So showing up matters. But there are many ways that we can show up that is not just physically present. It is in thinking about what all goes into making this happen. How do we prepare the environment? How do we welcome those that come through the doors? How do we offer our gifts? How do we offer our talents? How do we offer of ourselves so that we can be present with one another and feel God's presence in our midst? Something that Ms. Wanda said my very first Sunday here has stuck with me, that pastors come and go, but God has remained present on this hill. And that is a deep truth. God is present here with us because God is present everywhere. And through us, through our imperfections, God is at work, calling us to grow. Calling us to be formed day by day in the image of Christ, the perfect image of Christ. And because we are unique people, that manifests in ourselves in different ways. But in order for us to better understand that manifestation, we have to be present with and for one another. So friends, as we continue to go forward, reflecting of what does it mean for us to leave a legacy of faith, I invite us to reflect on what are the ways that we can embody the gift of presence. How can you be present, not only physically, but with your whole self, with your mind, with your body and spirit? How can we make room for others in our lives and in the life of the church? How can we be present to those who cannot be physically present with us? That is our work as a community of faith. It is the invitation that we have. And it is my prayer that we as a community will continue to grow in being present with and for one another, offering our love, our faith, and the grace of Christ, so that the beautiful realities of heaven will be present here with us. Amen.